Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Sensei.
I mentioned this last time, and that what I've been thinking about doing for a while is to talk about the Heart Sutra. To do that really is impossible to do it at just one Dharma talk. So I don't know how many it will take, but over the next week or two, I'd like to talk about the Heart Sutra in depth. And today, this will just be somewhat of an introduction to the Heart Sutra. I want to start off with a disclaimer, which is always the safe way to do one of these things. When I started looking into the history of the Heart Sutra, so to offer a background, it turns out that it's like stepping into the rabbit hole. Find one thing that's talked about by a particular researcher, and that leads to another thing, and then to another thing, and then you have teachers talking about the Heart Sutra and the history, and it goes on and on and on. So what I decided to do, particularly because I'm not a researcher, is to try and come up with a simple, straightforward way of talking about it today, but also as we move through. As I was looking into this, as I was sort of implying, there's an endless list of scholars and spiritual teachers who have written about the Heart Sutra. And some of the common ones, which names that you know about, is Robert Thurman and Edward Kahn's, Stephen Batchelor, the Dalai Lama, Thich Nhat Hanh, and the list goes on. And the text has been translated into English dozens of times from the Chinese, from Sanskrit, from Tibetan, and as well as other languages. And so, again, for these reasons and my limitations as a researcher, I'm going to present my understanding and experience of the Heart Sutra in a very basic language. And my hope is that I'll be able to communicate the essence of this sutra and to encourage you to go deeper, a deeper investigation into the history and the cultural context from when it began through the present. And to aid this understanding, the understanding of the sutra, and to ensure that, that we're all speaking the same language, I have asked Bill to send out a list of definitions and translations that come out of parts of the sutra. Has anybody gotten that? Okay, I had a problem sending it out, so I'll do it a different way and send it out. Just to briefly go over that with the Heart Sutra. The Heart Sutra starts out, Avalokitesvara Bodhisattva doing deep prajna paramita. And now some of you may know this and it may be repetitious for you, but I want to start to have, again, a common ground of communication so that these words and concepts were all operating with the same definition. So Avalokitesvara was one of the two main students of the Buddha. And the word bodhisattva is someone who postpones their own personal liberation and stays in the world to help with the suffering of others. And Mahaprajna Paramita comes out of a larger set of paramitas, but in this particular context, it's talking about the explanation of emptiness. So the Mahaprajna Paramita Heart Sutra is basically an explanation of emptiness. And then Shariputra comes along. Avalokitesvara was a bodhisattva, and it's the bodhisattva of compassion. And Shariputra was one of the top disciples of the Buddha. And then, let's see, further down, there's a part where it goes, all past, present, and future Buddhas live Prajna Paramita, and therefore attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. And that means perfect awakening. And then the word sutra refers to scriptures that contain the teachings of the Buddha. And then the part where the end, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, is translated into gone, gone, gone beyond, completely gone. And then Bodhisattva Prajna Heart Sutra. Well, Bodhi means the final awakening, and Svaha means well said or so be it. So sort of a way of ending. Go through all of this, and at the end, it's so be it. And there's also the mention of the word mantra, which a lot of you are familiar with, but just so that, again, we're on the same page, we're going to look at it as a sacred utterance. a syllable, a word, or a group of words believed to have religious or spiritual powers. And when I go into the actual sutra itself, one of the ways that we can chant the sutra is as if it was a mantra. You're not sitting thinking about the words, you're just becoming one with the words. And it's believed that if you do that, you can slowly through time embody the essence of the Heart Sutra. So just briefly, the Heart Sutra, again, as many of you may know, is the most frequently used and recited text in the Mahayana tradition. And Mahayana Buddhism, it's not a single group, but a collection of Buddhist traditions. And that includes Zen Buddhism, Pure Land Buddhism, and Tibetan Buddhism. Now, Mahayana focuses on the Bodhisattva ideal, which is to live a life of service to all beings to relieve their suffering. Now, the other main school of Buddhism, besides the Mahayana tradition, is the Theravada Buddhist tradition, which is also grounded in the teachings of Buddha. And they both emphasize liberation. They both emphasize going beyond. However, the methods and practices to accomplish this can be very different. And again, that would be one example. You could go down a whole other way to explain the difference between the practices and methods. Now, the Prajnaparamita texts contain some of the most well-known Buddhist sutras. And the Prajnaparamita, also known as the perfection of wisdom, so the Prajnaparamita literature evolved over many centuries and comprises a variety of texts, including some of the oldest Mahayana material. Now, I mentioned Edward Kahn's before, who's again a pioneer of scholarly study of this literature, considered the oldest and most basic text to be the Prajnaparamita, which the original had 8,000 lines. And he dates it from the first century BC. Now, during the subsequent centuries, there was a production of vast expanded versions, such as those of 18,000 lines, 25,000 lines, and 100,000 lines. Now, as well as shorter versions, such as the Diamond and the Heart Sutra. And the Heart Sutra is the shortest and best known of Mahaprajnaparamita Sutra. And it's said to represent the essential meaning of Prajnaparamita literature. And probably we all know this from having chanted it for so many years, that it's an explanation of the idea that form is emptiness and emptiness is form. Now, that's just the basic introduction. What I intend to do from starting next week is to go into the actual sutra itself. I don't know, line by line, but probably concept by concept that gets expressed through this, and to do my best to explain it and have a conversation about it. So it's not just a talking head talking about it. I think that we have to make it personal, and probably the best way to do that is to do it together. So having said that, the last 30 minutes of today will be a practice circle. And what I'd like to find out is how you came in touch with, how did you first discover the Heart Sutra, and how long have you been doing the Heart Sutra? And have you had any thoughts about it? Has it hit you in any particular way? Did you have any questions about it? And so I'd like to have a brief discussion about that. And it'll also help guide me in what would be the best way to present this. Thank you.